say amen. Even in songs, the word of God is taught. And if we would just sing it like we believe it, somebody might get baptized just from the singing. I think I used to hear stories of back in the old days where a lot of times when folk would be close to the church, and I'm talking about the Church of Christ, and they can hear that beautiful singing. It was the singing that also would bring them to the church. It was the singing that would cause them to want to come and find out what's going on. And then having being there, they get to hear God's word preached and taught. Remember, Jesus is the one that said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Well, how do we lift him up? We lift him up simply by, first of all, teaching and preaching his word and letting them see his word in our lives. That's how you draw people to Christ. And every child of God ought to be able to draw somebody sooner or later to the Lord, but it has to be a desire. It has to be something that you're looking forward to doing. Once again, I'm so thankful to Almighty God and to our brothers who are gathered here with us on today from Phoenix. They just got in this morning. They got up early, drove on over. They said since I didn't have breakfast ready for them, they went and dined at Denny's. I told them that's all right. I told them I would feed them after service, so I guess they figured they had to work for their food. So we're so thankful that they have that desire to want to be a part of our worship service on today. Today we began a new topic of study, and that topic of study is entitled Recognizing the Voice of God. And I know that this focus will help someone better understand God and learn to tell the difference between the voice of God and the voice of others. You got to know when it is God you're listening to and when it is someone else. Today I want to provide also some important information to the membership, as for those of you who, particularly those who do not attend our other classes where we try to keep the church updated on the involvement of this congregation in its efforts to engage in the support of the Lord's work and in missionary work. Most of you know that we already fully support the retirement of Brother Hunter. The Hispanic ministry that we have up front, we fully basically support that as well. And, of course, the African mission, which Brother Moses briefed us on this morning. And just from the standpoint of having provided them with two vans that they could use to, again, do more than just drive around the village, but as was learned in the presentation, they evangelize. They take kids back and forth to school. They take people back and forth to the hospital. The van is used to deliver materials and goods around. Why? So that those people who also have souls can understand that there is a God, and even though they can't see him, they give America the credit. Amen. But in what they are teaching them in Bible classes, they will get to learn that, yes, though the support came from America, it came from God through America to them. Is that all right? And so you have to understand that a lot of you probably are already impacting folk lives, and you will never know it. Sometimes people, they watch you from a distance. They hear about you and your life and what you're about from someone else. And sometimes because of that, it may influence or guide them in a direction that otherwise they never would have gone in. You have to understand your value as a child of God in the community in which you live. You can either be gathering for the Lord or you can be scattering. There is no in between. Scripture says you're doing one or the other. Tomorrow is the day that I will be removing the box from the foyer where I've been asking for your thoughts for the support of a senior care, and we're just calling it that right now, facility. of our own to be built on our own existing property. We hope to have that desire and willingness to plant, but it may be others who may reap that benefit. In response to the voice of God in missionary work, we stand ready to help when and where we can. It was the voice of God, Jesus, who said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Well, think about how you can go into all the world and not necessarily physically go. Amen. There's a lot of ways we can do it, can't we? You got media. You can go over into Africa right from your living room. Don't you? Can't you? All you need is somebody over there with a computer. You contact them, and y'all can traverse over computer, right? Cell phones, texting, and all that. Now, here's the issue, though. Most of the folk that you communicate with throughout your life, how much of that communication involves God? And when you think about that, you will, I think, quickly agree that we don't give God enough, even though he blesses us with technology and to be able to profit from things, we don't bless him enough with what he's already given us. And yet we still want more. To do what with? To help who? Remember, God says, "I will take care of you. Show me that you have a heart and a desire to take care of others." And that's really what our mission, if you will, as Christians ought to be about. We are, first of all, trying to save souls. Amen. If you're not, that ought to be your first goal, your first mission, is to understand you are about trying to save souls. That's what Jesus died for. He didn't die for you to have a nice car, a nice home, a whole lot of friends. He died so that you could be saved and that you could let those that he allowed to come into your world to know that he's your God. And you are what you are and who you are because of him. Amen. That doesn't seem to be our mantra today. That doesn't seem to be where our hearts and minds are, except maybe on Sundays for a few minutes. Then when we leave here and we go back out in the world, what are we about? Just keep in mind, you can still live in this world. You have to. But you don't have to be of the world. You can still enjoy the world's pleasures without sinning. But you got to learn how to do that. You ain't going to do it just because. You learn how to do that when you're taught and you're listening to the voice of God. He tells you how to do those kinds of things. I had a conversation with Brother Jason Williams on Thursday. I noticed in the bulletin it says that they were going to be here. They're not here. I was supposed to have made that announcement to you last Sunday, another one of those things that I forgot to do. When I get up here, sometimes I forget some of the preliminary stuff, especially once I get going. And I forgot to tell y'all last Sunday that they weren't going to be here this Sunday, and I forgot to tell Sister King. She was doing the bulletin yesterday, and I didn't even think about letting her know that, take that out, they're not going to be here. However, they are going to come. I did talk to them. They're in the process right now of trying to get the funds that they need from churches out there to get here. I told them, if you get here, I'll take care of the rest. And so they're going to try to come sometime later on in this month or sometime during the summer. And they want to come because he and his wife, Patrice, they are gotten into the missionary field, if you will, over in France. And they want to come through here, and I think when they leave, they're planning on going over permanently. So they want to come and say hi and bye to you all one more time, as well as present their mission to us to see if we are willing to support them as they go to spread the gospel in France. We know that there are great blessings and promises and rewards to having hearing and obeying the voice of God. God blesses us, church, to be a blessing. And he blesses us when we are a blessing to others. And then, of course, I want you to know that this coming Thursday, another thing that I forgot to do last Lord's Day was mention I need to start having the meetings with those who are interested in being a part of the West Coast Preachers and Leaders Forum that we will be hosting in January next year, not February, it'll be in January, the last week in January. And I want to start having those meetings. And we're going to meet on Thursday here at the building at 6:30. So if you have a desire, you want to be a part of that event on the ground floor, you need to be here at 6:30 on Thursday this coming week. Amen? Amen. All right. Recognizing the voice of God. That's my topic even for this morning. But I'm going to be focusing on something that we may sometime overlook. But it is a part of what we should always be about already in the Lord's work. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 tells us that God speaks to us today by his Son, who tells us to sow the seeds of his word in word and deed, that others may reap eternal life if they obey. That's what's important. Now, Hebrews chapter 1, 1 and 2 lets us know that in time past, God spoke to the fathers, right, through prophets in divers manners, but in these days have spoken to us through his Son. How are you going to know what God wants or know the voice of God if you don't know God's Son?
Right.
God speaks to us today, the Bible says, through his Son, and Jesus don't talk to you verbally, hello, right away. And I'm going to say right away because, again, I need you to understand something. He talks to us through his word, and his word is what we have to read. Amen. Now, let me just go ahead and clarify what I just said a minute ago. He talks to you verbally when I'm preaching to you and I'm quoting his word. Hello? Now, he probably don't sound like me, but it's not about that. The key that we're trying to make sure people understand is you're not going to get a voice out of the cloud today. If it is, it's somebody falling or somebody swinging over the top of you with a megaphone. God talks to us through his Son, and his Son talks to us through his written word. He's already let us know in John 12:48 that the words that I have spoken is what's going to judge you in the last day. So if you're concerned about what God is saying and what Jesus wants, you have to go into his word. And everybody on the face of the earth that have a desire can know what the word of God says. But the problem with us, when I say us, I'm talking about people in general, mankind in general. It seems that what God says has never been enough for a lot of folk. Even when there was only two. How do you get a conversation messed up with only two people? If it can happen between two people, my God, can't you see how it can get confused when you got more than two? But when you recognize that it is God's voice, then you get to make a choice still. There are some folk that know that it's God's voice. Y'all can all say amen. Anybody in here don't believe that Adam knew that it was God's voice? Who was it that said of the tree in the midst of the garden, thou shalt not eat of it, for the day you eat of it, you shall surely die? God said that. Satan didn't say that. Matter of fact, from looking at scripture, it's like Satan didn't say anything to Adam until after God did. So Satan couldn't recognize that when, yes, it was his wife, when Miss Eve came up beside him and whispered in his ear to eat of the tree, he couldn't recognize that that's not the voice of God. That is, okay, I want y'all to stay with me. I'm saying voice of God because that's what I know we focus on. But don't you know that we're talking about the word of God? Hello? We're talking about the Word of God. Everybody in here need to understand, you need to recognize, even if it's the Word of God. If God didn't say it, God didn't say it. Don't let somebody put something in there that God didn't say, and you're going to pass it on as the voice. No. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, the Bible says. Well, this principle, message of sowing the seeds of his word, in other words, going into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature. This principle was also evidenced in Jesus with his encounter with the woman at the well. Everybody's familiar with the woman at the well. Amen. St. John chapter 4, verse 1 through 42. But the end result of his encounter was something that we want to focus on as well. We know that when he was with the woman at the well, he was, you know, challenging her about, you know, the men she was with and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he told her everything about herself, things that she was doing. And that's what we can kind of focus on when we're in that lesson, isn't it? But do you not recognize that as Jesus was doing that, what his primary goal was? It was to inform the woman that she was wrong, let her know what did she need to do to get herself right. But he was planting some seeds. When he planted those seeds in her, she's the one that spread his message to the rest of the Samaritans. So as we're looking at this this encounter, that's why I wanted us to kind of pick up at about verse number, I want to say 31, in our reading for this morning. The end result of this encounter with the woman at the well had went and told the people what Jesus had said and done. And the Bible says that many Samaritans believed, and even more believed as they heard him for themselves. In other words, they heard what the woman said, but when they heard Jesus for themselves, the Bible says they believed even more. You and I have to make sure we get ourselves to the point of understanding that you can hear your teacher teach, you can hear your preacher preach, but until you hear God's word for yourself, you're going to always be on the fence. Why? Because you might say, well, the teacher said this and the preacher said that. Okay, but what are you here for? You're here for what thus says the Lord. And you can know it if that's what you want to know. That's how awesome God is. God knows that people are fickle. God knows that people can't. There are folk that just can't even tell a story straight. It seems like they just have to add something, change something, or leave out something for whatever they have decided in their minds is valuable or not. Some people can't even tell a joke repeatedly. Some of it because they forget. Nothing worse than trying to tell a joke and you forget the punchline. That's why they call it a joke. And then you get to the punchline and you done messed it all up. Well, you know what's going to happen next time? You're going to offer to tell somebody a joke. Nah, that's okay, bro. Nah. The same thing can happen when we're trying to tell folk about the Lord. If you don't leave it to where that, remember, God is the one that knows the hearts of man. If God tells me to tell you something, I got to learn to tell you what God says just the way God said it. God knows what you need. I don't. I can say I know you need Jesus, but how do I know you don't already have him? I don't. God does. So when you're truly trying to learn of God, you got to make sure you can discern when it's God that's talking to you. And oh, by the way, it ain't really you talking to yourself. Because what's up here has to come from somewhere. Amen. And it either comes from God, from Satan, and I've been so generous as to let you know society. Now, what do you mean by society, Brother Gay? Well, what I mean is this. I believe what the Bible says when Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know it is not in man who walketh to direct his own steps. I know most of you will say, well, I know what I'm doing. God says you don't. And so if you and I can't direct our own steps, the question is, who is directing our steps? Okay, again, God, if you listening to God's word and doing what God says. Satan, if you're doing everything that opposes what God says. And when I say society, I'm starting with mommy and daddy and the rest of the world. Why? Because you don't know. It has to come from somewhere. So mom and society tends to have a little bit of godliness. Yes, they do. They'll read scripture to you. They may not explain it. They may not, but they'll throw some scripture at you. In God we trust. Yeah, okay. So you get some of your learning from society, your parents, your school, your government. That's what some of us make decisions in our life based on, don't we? Yeah, we do. But you can still do that and do it in a way that pleases God. Why? Because God knows all about society. God knows all about you. God even tells you, I always cross this bridge. Now, I don't know if we got anybody in here that likes co-signing loans with people. Seems like it's a good thing to do. Help your brother out. Help your sister out. Help your child out. Help your mama out. Help somebody out. But understand something now. God has given us in his word some advice. And he says, don't do it. But if you're going to go ahead and convince yourself that you want to do it, then he says, just make sure that you understand that when you do it and they don't pay, be prepared to pay. God ain't gonna forgive you because you co-signed a loan for somebody and they wouldn't pay and you don't pay. Somebody's got to be responsible. See, that's in God's word, my brother. In the book of Proverbs, I know a lot of folks don't read Proverbs. We've kind of lifted Proverbs up like we do Confucius. Confucius says, blah, blah, blah. Oprah says, blah, blah, blah. We quote more of the world than we do God. And God has already given us what we need. And if we recognize God's voice, you'll know that even when you want to verify it, you go to God's word. So, we're talking about reaping and sowing, and we're doing it based on hearing, if you will, the voice of God. Jesus, in response to his disciples, after he had really kind of finished his encounter with the woman at the well. If we pick up about verse number 31, we find there that his disciples came to him. Now, he's finished with the woman, and the woman is all excited. She done learned some stuff. She done had an encounter with the Lord to the point to where she's excited. She's got a lot of zeal. She wants to tell others about her encounter. So she leaves to go and tell the folk about this man called Jesus, who has told me everything that I've ever done in my life. Y'all need to come and hear this man, see this man. So when she leaves, his disciples come along. And his disciples, the Bible says, they come and they start, I think the Bible, King James used the term, they prayed to him, Lord, why don't you eat something? Mm-hmm. Now, this is what I want you to see. Jesus and the woman at the well. He dealt with her, they weren't around. When he started finishing up with her, they shows up. She's gone, now it's him and them. And they got some compassionate concerns about his health. Lord, why don't you get something to eat? And then the Bible says that the Lord told him, I have meat that you are not even aware of. And the Bible says they got to thinking, I think it says they'd even ask him the question, did somebody bring you something to eat already? And he's trying to teach them and their carnal minds is fixed on steak and eggs. Look at verse number 31. The Bible says what? In the meantime.
Meanwhile, the disciples urged him.
Yeah, read.
The disciples prayed and said, Master, eat.
Eat, read.
But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of.
Read.
Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat?
See, so it's right there. And that's reasonable. Even though they weren't with him, they trying to figure out, well, we know you hadn't had anything to eat. You need to eat. He says, I have meat to eat that you don't know anything about.
That's it.
And in their minds, it's like, oh, somebody done fed him already. Somebody done already brought him a sandwich.
That's it.
And then Jesus says in verse number 30.
Jesus said unto them.
Read.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me.
My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish the work. Now, in your Bible, the meat is spelled M-E-A-T. Right? The same meat that you and I tend to eat.
That's it.
Jesus is trying to help them understand, I'm not here for the physical stuff. I'm here to get you spiritually to where you can understand that when you're dealing with me, it's about your spirit man and not your physical man.
Amen.
He used our physical man to help us better understand our spiritual man.
Right.
Can you imagine the look on their face or what's going on in their minds when Jesus responded like that? My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Meat? Well, how is that going to feed you? How is that going to keep you nourished, keep you healthy? Remember, Jesus knew he had a short time on earth. Church, say amen.
Amen.
Because you got to know something. You got a short time on earth.
Okay. Thank you, brother.
And if you still all about steak and eggs and beans more than you are about your spiritual word of God, you're going to be in trouble.
Amen.
So Jesus goes on and he says to him in verse number 35, read.
Say not yea.
Now, in your Bible, I know if you got some other translation, it may have already changed it. King James, this is a question that's being asked. Sometimes we read it like it's a statement. It's not a statement. Basically, he's saying is, don't you say that there's 4 months and then comes the harvest? He's challenging them with what they already know. Of course, King James said, say you not that. There are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. See, that's a question.
Behold, I say unto you.
I say unto you.
Lift up your eyes. And look on the field. For they are wild. Already to harvest.
They are white already to harvest. Now, I need you to stay in the moment, stay in the scripture, and look at what Jesus is doing. But I need you right now to put yourself in the place of those disciples. Brother Stewart, when he says, lift up your eyes and see the harvest.
That's it.
They were probably looking to try to find out where's the field.
That's it.
Not realizing that, again, Jesus is not that concerned about these physical things that we get tied up with. He's concerned about those souls out there that needs to hear about him so that they can make a decision whether they want to be saved or not.
Amen.
The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers
are few.
So he tells them, look, lift up your eyes. Look at the harvest. I mean, basically what he's saying to them is there's plenty of work to do, to be done. What are you waiting for? Read.
And he that reapeth receiveth wages.
Then Jesus began to teach. Read.
And gather fruit unto life eternal. That both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together.
Okay, so now Jesus goes into sowing and reaping. What was he doing before they showed up?
Sowing.
He'd already sowed the seed in the woman at the well.
Yep.
She done gone to spread the word already. They come along and they bothering him about eating some meat. And he's, again, trying to shift their minds. Don't worry about that. we ain't gonna starve. But while we have time, our focus needs to be on sowing and reaping the seed of God's word so that people can be saved.
That's it.
So he says to him, I need you to know something. There are those that sow, and then there's others that reap the benefit of what someone else sows. You know, I've never forgotten and not been aware, and it's called self-awareness. I have to keep myself aware of just me personally. I'm reaping the benefits of what Brother Hunter did years ago.
All right, brother. Come on.
You know, when the Bible talks about one soweth and the other one reaps, you and I need to understand that whatever you're doing right now, either is going to be a benefit to someone or it's going to be a curse.
That's it.
And if you are not benefiting someone, then you have to be cursing them. When I say cursing them, basically we're talking about you're no good to anybody else. But Jesus is trying to prepare the 12 because they're going to be left behind.
Yes, sir.
He's here with them now. He's doing all of this teaching. He's trying to make sure that they're getting ingrained in them to understanding what this life now needs to be about. Now that you know about Christ,
yes
you can still have your bacon and eggs and cornbread, but you got a soul, you got a spirit man that needs to be fed. Who gonna feed him?
All right.
You know, sometimes it seems like, I was talking to somebody just the other day and we just kind of went through the cycle. A baby is born. Amen.
Amen.
And when that baby is born, that baby knows nothing. Everything that baby will learn and gonna learn is out there before. But the baby is totally dependent. The baby needs to be fed. Matter of fact, not just be fed, but the person feeding him got to understand, you can't get that baby no lamb chop.
That's right. Absolutely.
You got to have sense enough to know what does the baby. So the baby needs to be fed. The baby needs to be cleaned. Baby's diaper need to be changed. I said, can you imagine the baby changing their own diaper? Wouldn't it be something? The baby need to be cared for. Then the baby grows up. And the baby grows up probably not even focusing on what all mama or daddy or whoever had done for them while they were growing up. Baby begins to live his or her life. And they go through life. And God blesses them to be able to finish the cycle of life this way. You're born totally dependent. You live, and if you forget that dependency, you tend to live independent. Yeah, I don't need nobody. You're okay, all right. And the sad part is for most folk, they ain't even including God. That's why you got so many folk trying to live through this world without God. You can live, but you know, you're just making your life miserable. But if God allows you to live to the point to where you reach that age, to where now you got to see baby again. Okay, maybe you got to be baby again. You reach that age to where now somebody's got to feed you. Somebody's got to clean you. Hello? Somebody's got to now care for you. Let me ask you something, church. Who do you want to do that? Somebody that you didn't care anything about? Somebody that you treated all mean and evil and bad? Who do you want to care for you if you make it to the mountaintop where you're going down now and you need somebody to care for you? When you treat folk bad on the front end, how can you expect anything different on the back end? I know what happens. Satan gets into you and you start doing what Satan tried to do with Jesus when he took him up to the wilderness. You start quoting scripture on folk. Well, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed, okay. What are you supposed to do? You know, there's a lot of sayings out there. What goes around comes around. You reap what you sow. All of that is real. But the sad part is some folk don't get it until it's on them. And now they want to know why my children won't treat me right. Why my mama and daddy don't treat me right. Well, you learn to treat other folk right, and maybe you can be treated right. I think Jesus even taught on that a little bit. One case he said is more blessed to give than to receive. But he also taught treat others the way you want to be treated. That's the voice of God, church. But we let the voice of Satan come in, and our attitude is because you didn't do nothing for me, I ain't doing nothing for you. Okay, so then you're saying that to one another, what are you saying to God? As a child of God, when you talk like that, what are you saying? Whose voice are people beginning to hear from you now? It ain't the voice of God. It's the voice of Satan. But Jesus, the master teacher, look at what he did. Verse number 37, read.
And herein.
Herein is that saying
true.
It's true. Now, please believe when Jesus says something, it's true. Yes, Jesus, sir. The Bible lets us know, is true. So when Jesus is talking, he says, herein is the saying, something that you've heard, it's true. What true? Read.
One soweth. And another reap.
Another reap. Now, Paul came along, and we know what Paul taught, right? Paul was talking, and when he was talking, he was also talking about planting the seed, the gospel of Christ. One sows, another water, but God gives the increase. How many of you thank God for the increase in your life? How many of you still feel like he ain't increased you enough? If he ain't increased you enough, I'm here to tell you this morning, you ain't done enough. When I say you ain't done enough, you haven't done enough of listening to his voice to do what he said. God keeps his word. And I think it was in a Tuesday class. I was telling the class Tuesday. And I wanted to make sure that they understood. From the bottom of my heart, whatever that is. You know, I know people say that. I'm going to take a different approach. From the top of my heart. I was trying to share with them that right now in my life, right now, there is nothing that I feel or think that I need that I don't already have. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good feeling. I didn't say that there's nothing I don't want. You got to understand the difference. I don't think there's too many folk in here right now that don't have everything you need. But what happens is our needs get confused with our wants, and you start wanting something when you really need Jesus. Scripture said when you have him, you have everything. Well, understand what that looks like. That means that there's stuff out there that you can have so much desire in wanting that you give up Jesus. And he gave his all for us. Why do we have to put him on a schedule? Why do we have to try to put him in a box? Why do we try to put him on a payment plan? you give back to him as you see fit. Not as he has said. He wants you. But Nate, if we went back into the day when they had what they call slaves, and you was a slave owner, and I was your slave, and I'm walking around, and I got $100 in my pocket. I didn't even tell my other slave brother here, Brother Barkham, I got $100 in my pocket. Whose $100 is that? Church? Whose $100 is that? See, it ain't yours. It's in my pocket, though. I'm the one found it, or however I got it. Master don't even know I got it unless I tell him. But whose is it? Because I belong to him, it's his. He owns me and everything that I am. That was in slavery. Christ is much more above slavery. We have to understand that God owns us. He already owns everything that you have, and it won't be until you understand that and start living like that that you'll start acting like God owns everything. The world ain't gonna teach you that, but the voice of God will. Okay, I'm gonna be done when we get to 42. Everybody okay? All right, what verse are you on?
38.
38, we got about that many more to go. Let's go, read.
I sent you to reap that wherein.
Now, Jesus saying to 12, I sent you to reap that thereon where you haven't done nothing for. In other words, I'm sending you to reap where you have not labored. Read.
You bestowed no labor.
Read.
Other men labored. And you are entered into their labor.
Now, look at where we are. We're right there in John. So Jesus is talking to the 12. When he told them to look up, the harvest is white, ready, plentiful. And he telling them, I'm sending you. Now, the harvest is white, but it didn't get white because of you.
That's right.
You ain't talked to nobody out there yet.
Right.
Watch this, church. Do you not know that this is Jesus? The whole time Jesus was on earth doing his preaching, teaching, healing, all the things that Jesus was doing, the Bible tells us that there were people being baptized, right? And it also lets us know that Jesus didn't baptize any, but his disciples did, right? The Bible tells us that. But think about this. Jesus is saying here, someone else has already gotten the harvest white. I'm sending you out there to reap. You ain't planted a seed. You ain't put a drop of water on it. You ain't turned over no dirt, but you're going to reap the benefits. Can you imagine Jesus, after all that he had done, even going to the cross, the whole time he was doing all that preaching, the Bible does let us know that wherever Jesus went, there was also always a multitude of folk following. Y'all remember that? Don't mean that all of them folk had been baptized, obeyed the gospel. Jesus had to call them out at one time. He says, I know you following me, but it ain't for the miracles that I do or the things that I teach. It's for the meat that I gave you. You here because you hungry. And it ain't for spiritual food. You want to see me feed another 5,000 with two pieces of fish. Some folk come to church for the wrong reason. Some folk are part of the church for the wrong reason. You got to know what you're here for, what you're supposed to be about.
Right.
And so he lets them know, what I'm trying to show you is, after he had gone to the cross, died and was resurrected, came back, talked to his disciples again for a few days, then ascended into heaven. Mm-hmm. On the day of Pentecost, the 12 preached one sermon, got 3,000 folk to obey. When Jesus was doing all of his preaching and teaching, he wasn't seeing that kind of visible results. But on one occasion, 3,000 were saved. Isn't that awesome? But Jesus didn't complain. You know why? Because who did the souls belong to? Yeah, Jesus did the sowing. The apostles did the reaping, but they was reaping as workers of his. They benefited. The Lord benefited.
Amen.
You and I this morning, church, you have to understand, we are all benefiting from something somebody else did. You know whether you were here this morning and had no part in this or not. Somebody sacrificed to get this done so that you can have a nice place to worship.
That's right.
Amen. So the question this morning, and always for you, is what are you going to leave? Other than your bills. And we're on about verse 39 right about now, aren't we?
Yes.
Read.
And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman.
Okay, go back up to verse 38.
I sent you to
reap
that whereon you bestowed no
where
labor.
Where you bestowed no labor.
Right? Other men labored.
Other men labored.
And ye
and you entered into their labor. And Jesus stops right there with his teaching. What else need to be said? All you need to do is think about your own life. You got where you are because of what somebody else did. In preparing that way for you, other than that, who knows where we would be? So he's trying to teach even his disciples, understand, it's not always about you. And it's not always about you benefiting. At some point, you ought to be doing the labor in sowing the seed. So when we have members of the church, those who are, in fact, talking to people about the Lord, having Bible studies with folk, when those folk decide to come to be baptized, even though the rest of us didn't do anything with them, we get to enjoy, well, we should enjoy the harvest. But sometimes it seems that the majority of folk in the church can't enjoy somebody else's harvest. Are we jealous of one another? When you understand the principle of what God is trying to show you, somebody come in here and they want to be baptized. They want to become a part of the church, a part of the family of God. All of God's family, if they are truly God's family, are rejoicing over that person. And I know you're going to say, well, that's man's thing. Well, it is. But can't you give, how long do we take, Woodrow, for our welcome circles? 5 minutes. He said 15, I'm cutting it down. 5 minutes. Can't you give an extra 5 minutes of your time to show that person how grateful you are for them being a part of what you are a part of?
Right.
I don't think some of us even think that God frowns on you when you, I mean, folk will run over you at that door trying to get up out of here.
Why?
To go where? To do what?
Right.
When the Bible says the angels in heaven is rejoicing over one soul and you trying to get to Dave and Buster's or wherever you go. Why? But now, what happens when something good happens in your life?
All right.
Now, the Bible teaches me, the voice of God tells me, that when others rejoice, you rejoice. I can be so glad for you for doing good, especially when you're doing good in the Lord. But what Satan does, Satan is the one that plants in your head, look at him, he thinks he's something. She thinks she's somebody. And you know you got folk that think like that, and some of you this morning think like that too. All I'm telling you this morning is you need to quit it. That's not godly. Sowing and reaping. I switched my lesson to this because after I knew for sure that Brother Moses and the brothers was actually going to show. He set me up too many times. Last night, I decided I'm going to change my message for this morning. Why? Because I want the congregation here to understand that we can and we should be already sowing and reaping in other places and not just here, because it seems like even a lot of our folk here don't appreciate what is accomplished here. Why is that? I bet you on their job, every time somebody get promoted, they right there taking a drink with them or whatever they do. Yeah. Well, yeah, when something good happens to somebody in the Lord's house,
come on, preacher.
Satan steps in and have you looking all cockeyed at one another, whispering behind. And you understand something. You ain't even got to open your mouth. God already knows. Thank God he dwells in our minds. may fool me, but I'm a fool. I can be fooled easily. What I'm trying to make sure you don't fool me on is when it's the word of God. Oh yeah, you can fool me with some jokes and with some tricks that man come up with. Yeah, but one thing you can't fool me with, and that is the word of God. Why? Because if you say it and I don't see it, I ain't buying it. And that's all we try to get folk here to understand. There are churches falling by the wayside all the time. Why? Because they stopped listening to and for the voice of God. Anything goes in our society now. And because people want to be on the, as they put it, with the in crowd, right, they do what the crowd does. Look at what happened as we close. Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for saying, this is the part I want you to get. They believed on him for saying
of what the woman which testified.
So the woman had went and told a group of folk, and some of them believed, right? It took a while, but some of them finally believed, right? Read.
He told me all that I ever had.
He told me all that I've ever done. Read.
So when the Samaritans were come unto him.
So after he had went and told them, they didn't just stay back there with their feet kicked up. They wanted to see this man. The Bible says they came to him. And when they came to him, he taught them some more. Read.
They besought him.
They besought him.
That he would tarry with them.
Stay with us, Lord, for a bit.
And he abode.
Hold up. Now, I do believe with all my heart that if the Lord Jesus came right now and walked in here and sat on this pew or sat up there, wherever he want to be, I just know there won't be too many of you that'll get up and leave.
That's right. Absolutely.
Notice I said not too many. I know some of you will. I know Satan got some of you so bound, you don't even know you're bound. But you wouldn't leave, even after I done kept you for 45 minutes, 30, 50 minutes. You wouldn't leave. Why? Because you see Jesus. Hello?
That's right. Amen.
Now, again, I know some of you will be gone. I ain't talking to you. You'll be gone anyway. I'm trying to get at those folk who you know that when Jesus is with you, you ain't in no hurry to get away from him. These people, when they went and they saw Jesus, the Bible says they told him, stay with us for a while.
Right.
And in doing so, I think the Bible says he stayed with them about 2 days.
Yeah. And he abode these 2 days.
See, the Lord ain't in no hurry like we are.
Right.
What if I ask y'all to just, let's just stay in worship service till 3. I know. You ain't got to say it. Thank God I got sense enough not to say that. At least not to ask it and expect you to give me an honest, godly answer. But he abode with him for 2 days. Read. You ought to be on by verse 40.
41.
One. Here we go.
And many more believe because of.
And many more believe. Why?
Because of his own
because
word.
Of what he said. They already believed partly by what the woman said, but evidently there might have been a little bit of doubt. But now the Bible says many more believed even more because of what
of his
Jesus
own word
said. His own words. Church, you can hear you can hear Jesus' own words yourself if you get in your Bible like
That's
you're
it.
Supposed to.
Amen.
It's right there for you to hear, for you to see, for you to understand at your own pace. And yet we won't give him the time of day.
That's right.
We got too much other stuff going on in our lives. We ain't got time for you yet, Jesus. But understand, the Bible tells us that when he comes, there won't be no time.
Right.
You can't make time for him then. Hello?
Hello.
Last verse.
42, and he said unto the woman.
He said to the woman.
Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves.
Now these are the Samaritans out there now. They are saying, look, I'm glad you told us, but we ain't believing based on what you said.
Right.
We believe because we done heard him for ourselves. And that's all I'm asking you to do this morning. Check what I've told you this morning from the book yourself. Everything may not be verbatim, But I think what I was preaching and teaching are the principles that you can find in God's word. Mainly this. First of all, you reap what you sow. And on the good side, you may reap from what somebody else has sown. We are already doing that. We need to be sowing some seeds so that other people can reap thereby. And God will be pleased. If you're here this morning, the voice of God, that's our study for the month. In studying and thinking about the voice of God, all we're asking you to do is this. Believe, if you believe your Bible, I have to say if, because that's what it's predicated on. Because if you don't, you won't. If you believe your Bible, and you truly believe that God has given us all that we need that pertains to life and godliness, if what you are looking for is something other than life and godliness, then yeah, God's word is not where you want to go. He's given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness while we're on this earth so that we can be with him when this is over. That's what this is all about, church. See, if you're not trying to go to heaven, yeah, you can. You can go get yourself entertained any way you want.
Right.
And they'll be glad to have you.
Right.
And they'll tell you everything but the word of God.
That's right.
Why? Because that's not what you want to hear. But when you want to hear the word of God, you go where the word of God is. And not only do you go, but you can take it with you.
That's it.
Come up in here with no Bible. What's wrong with you? I can say that because, you know, even though I don't see a regular manual Bible in your hand, I know that we got pocket phones. Hello? I know now we, see that's the age that I had to come out of the dinosaur age and understand. I was upset at first. I don't mind admitting it. I mean, it's like, I can't believe these people. They're gonna go with a phone? I mean, they're out there on their phones and on an iPad instead of the Bible? And then the Lord blessed me to get a little bit of that stress off when I look out and I see this brother with his iPad and the battery done gone dead. And I said, oh, yes, yes. Yes. Now what? You relied on man's devices. Because the Bible is too antiquated. But that phone. You forgot you used up all them minutes when you were talking. Now you're trying to go find a scripture and blip. And I don't know. That may have been Satan that get me, but he don't hold me long. I mean, I get all excited and say, yes, but then I get right back to, Lord, I hope he can find a good book. Hope he can find the real thing. Hope he understand that you shouldn't really be relying on man's devices to try to get to heaven. You stay with the Lord. But what I'm saying now, though, is realizing that technology, I mean, I'm glad I don't have to do parchment paper. Yeah, I thank God for the book.
Amen.
I'd rather wear out and tear out pages of my book.
Amen.
Than to find out one day man done changed his operating system on your phone. And now in order for you to get that Bible, you got to buy a whole new probably a whole new iPad. That's how man changes. That's how man keep us hooked. But God has given you all that you need. And if we understand that God knows what he's doing, he knows who we are, trust in God, and you'll be all right. And then one day, like the song we sang before he brought me up, we'll all be marching through those pearly gates. There's just one way to the pearly gates. And that is through the body of Christ, through the church of Christ, the way that Jesus himself built and prepared for man to be saved. How do you get in that way? You get in that way by simply hearing God's word, believing it, repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus to be God's son, being baptized for the remission of your sin. I don't care if you're in Africa, they need to be told the same thing. They have to be baptized, they have to hear the word and be baptized just like anybody else. Why? Because when Jesus says go into all the world, it included all the world. Teach them the same thing. And yet we go all over the world. You ain't got to go all over the world. You can just go 4, 5, or 6 blocks and hear all kinds of different teaching that don't have nothing to do with the Bible. You want to be saved. Learn to discern the voice of God. If you're here this morning, you're already a child of God. You're already a member of the Lord's church. Again, just take the lesson this morning. Understand you need to be either a sower or a reaper. Because even reaping, you got to do something. We're just trying to get folk off the stool of do nothing. Get you know what I'm saying? You got to do something. Even to reap. You go out into the peach orchard. If he go out and pull all the peaches and just bring them to you, you're benefiting from his work, but what have you done? Hello? God's people are to be workers in his vineyard. And you can be a worker either in sowing or in reaping. Hello? But you got to be doing something. You choose this morning what part of God's plan best fits your life. If you're in the church and you haven't been doing either, time now. God bless you. You still got life. You still got health. Why not start, recommit yourself to him today while we together stand and sing the Savior's invitation song.
I can hear my Savior.